You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Thursday. This is going to be a great show, so I don't want to spend a lot of time with introductions. You know why we're here by now, and we're excited to be part of WEOA The Pump and talk about addictive disorders and recovery so that people can try to understand this thing and grasp it and find out places they can go to get help if they are suffering from a drinking problem or drug problem. And there is power in the house today. There are three generations of recovery here at Radio Rehab today. If you want to call 424-1400, don't hesitate. These guys can share their experience, strength, and hope about just about anything, drug, drink, anything you want to talk about. Give us a call. You can also find us on Facebook. Just get on Facebook and go to Radio Rehab, and you can ask these guys or make comments about anything you want to. We need all the help we can get and honor, and we're open to your suggestions and advice. Robert every time I call Robert to come on Radio Rehab, he is ready. He's always ready to share his experience, strength, and hope. And something else about Robert and James and John, the three generations of recovery here today, you never see them alone. It just occurred to me, these guys hang with other winners. They hang with other people in recovery. They hang with opportunities always to pass on the miracle of recovery they've got. So I'm excited to introduce them to you again and let you hear their stories and the things they want to talk to us about today. First, we'll start with Robert, who's got 22 years of sobriety, and then James, who he sponsors, who's got over a decade of sobriety, and their little guy, John, who's the great-grandchild that's going to share his recovery as well. So why don't we start with you, Robert, and we'll just hear from everybody. Thanks for coming.
Honest, it's good to be here again. I always enjoy coming on the show with you. It's great, the work that you've done over the years, and day at a time, it's going to get better. I'm just glad to be here today with my sponsees and my grandsponsee. For me, the story is the same thing as it always is. Every time I'm on the show, you know, I keep doing one day at a time, what keeps me clean and sober just for the day. And to sit here and have these couple of days clean and look at these other gentlemen here with me and realize, you know, if it wasn't for people like myself and like Lisa who stayed around this program and tried to help others, you know, I wouldn't be clean, neither would anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I'm just blessed to be here. I don't want to take up the show because I think these other guys have a lot to say. So I'm especially proud of Mr. James, who he's carrying on a program and the community to help cocaine and other addicts stay clean and sober, and to have a young gentleman here that had some clean time and went back out and is back in again to share his experience with you, to show you this program does work. You know, it just takes a matter of dedication and the three essential tools that quite sure James touches on a lot, of honesty, open mind, and willingness. So with that, I'm just going to get it back to Lisa and then let her introduce the other gentleman here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Robert. That gratitude just oozes. Well, he wants to introduce us now to James, who has been incredibly involved, like Robert, passing it on, and he's going to talk to us about himself, his recovery, a little about Cocaine's Anonymous, which is a great fellowship that started here in Evansville. So how you doing, James?
I'm good this morning. Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Thank you. Too bad your wife's too chicken to come on here. I'm going to get her, though.
Well, we'll keep praying for her and let her keep working with a sponsor.
Yes. Yeah. We got you, and that's good.
Like I said, I'm happy to be here this morning. I guess I need to kind of share a little bit that I belong to Mount Olive Galilee Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a Cocaine Anonymous meeting there called CAS, and we do four meetings a week there.
What's it called?
CAST.
Cash?
C-A-S-T.
Oh, CAST.
CAST, right. Cocaine Anonymous Support Team. And awesome. We have four meetings a week, as I stated. And it's all about dealing with mind-altering substance. Cocaine is not the root of all problems. We have alcohol and other mind-altering substances that's a problem just as well. I'm a firm believer that meetings make us make it. I do plenty of meetings on a weekly basis, and I suggest that to my sponsees. I also believe in the 12-step program of anonymous program. I know that as a result of them steps, my life changed.
Were you a cocaine user, James?
And any other mind-altering substance.
Others, too?
Yes. You know, whatever took me to another level, you know, was my drug. I've been around for a few 24 hours. I work. I have a sponsor myself. You just heard him. I sponsor other people. And I firmly believe that the honesty, open-minded, and willingness is the firm root to this program, that you have to get honest with yourself. And then you can be well on your way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And now the grandson, John, welcome to radio. This is your first time on here, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you for coming on.
It's a privilege being here.
So tell us about you.
I'm 46 of age, and I'm also a member at Zion Missionary Baptist Church. And we have a meeting over there on Saturdays from 6 to 7. And, you know, it's a great meeting. One of our members, he had been in it for many years, and he, you know, had a lot of things going on in his life. He was kind of busy, so he passed it down to me. And God's been really working in my life so forth as this program, you know, putting the right people in at the right time for me, you know, because, you know, too much idle time is time for the devil to worship, and especially with me. So God's been putting the right people in the right places on time for me. But I just want to share a little bit about, you know, how the program works in my life. You know, I have to be totally honest, open-mindedness, and willingness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put a lot of productive energy into this program, as I did when I was out in my using days. So that's what helped me a whole lot. And, you know, I see my life gradually changing. And I once had 16 years, and I lost it. And, you know, I thank God that he gave me another opportunity. You know, because I could have been easily out of here. And, you know, people really reached out for me this time because they seen me working towards something. I wasn't, you know, shying away and not wanting this program because, you know, my mind just twirls all the time trying to do different things. But, you know I had to put it at halt and take suggestions today. And that's what helps me, you know, my sponsor, my grand sponsor. You know, they always giving me some productive suggestions, and I take them, and usually it comes out to be better than what it be when I think about things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this program does work. For anybody that's out there struggling with it, you know, find a program or come to meetings or, you know, talk to somebody that's in recovery because they could guide you in the right way. And make sure they have a amount of sobriety clean time, because they can share some experience, strength, and hope with you. You know, and this program does work if you give it a chance. And I know it works because I'm still clean today. You know, as of the 6th of this month, I made 10 months.
Oh, congratulations.
And, you know, uninterrupted sobriety, you know. That means not sneaking in no closets or trying to sneak on blocks where people can't see you trying to purchase drugs. You know, and really working at this program and, you know, letting God work in my life, too. And it's been a success, and God's been good to all of us. So that's all I have to say.
Well, how would people find you guys? How did you find out about 12-step programs? How do people know that are addicted where to go?
Well, for one, you got a lot. Well, for the cash team, we have a flyer that's floating around that's sharing the four meetings we have a week, and it also have myself and my wife on them at the bottom of it. And most of the places you can find programs that's setting up around Some churches have them. Very few churches have them setting out, but some do have them.
Flyers
and have a program setting out. But normally speaking, it's the word of mouth that's been a better advertisement that I know of in the community that leads people to this fellowship. It's just people reaching out, sharing, and talking to other people, letting them know how this program has changed their life and have guided them into a different direction. That's the best advertisement that I've known that's worked throughout mm-hmm. this community for me, and I see it working out for others, you know.
So do you guys think people are more open now than they used to be, that everybody at least is talking or knows somebody that's been addicted, is in recovery? Is it more open and out of hiding?
Yeah, I think it is on a personal basis. I'd like to relate to something that James was just talking about, though, you know, because the word getting out today, not only through advertisement, but through word of mouth more than anything, that there are not so many. We don't have the tendency to bury the addiction so much as we did in the past, and it can be more openly talked about. excuse me, talking about how to reach someone, you know, I don't believe there's probably nobody in this town that doesn't know somebody that knows somebody that's in recovery.
Yeah.
And if a person wants it, there's always somebody to be able to talk to. If you want it bad enough, you know, you get on the computer and go to AA, you find out where meetings are, or CA, or whatever kind of meeting you need to get into a 12-step program. So if you want it, the help is there. It's just a willingness to, we really want it. You know, we shared a little bit earlier about some of the things that may hold a lot of us back, and we're talking about pride and surroundings and friends and all that. And, you know, 12-step program has taught me, you know, I didn't have no friends when I was out there drinking and drugging. And if you don't believe that, just get clean for a while and you'll find out that they disappear when you right quick, you know. So when you tell them friends, you know, if you want to live and you want help, it's available, just pick up the phone. You can always get a phone call, talk to somebody because somebody knows somebody that's in recovery.
You know, you mentioned that pride. Wow. That can keep us from being even healthy in sobriety, not wanting to ask for help or let people know we're hurting. So do people, you think, when they're under the influence of alcohol or drugs, have this false sense of, I'm okay, I don't need anybody?
That macho image.
The macho image, you know, that false pride
that, you know, I'm tough, mm-hmm. you know.
I'll whip this on my own.
Yeah. You know, I found out that one of the main areas that most of us can look at in our community and see that nobody wants to see themselves.
Yeah.
It's like they get up in the morning and they go to the bathroom, but they don't see themselves in the mirror. And once you take a look at yourself in the mirror, you know, the fact is there's something needs to change about this picture that I see, you know. And when you start pointing in that mirror, it all come right back at you, you know. So, you
That's
know,
a good point. And going to meetings is like a mirror because you hear people say what you're going through.
Right.
And you see them looking the way you probably look.
You know, I found out one thing, Lisa, and then I'm going to share. I haven't shared this with my sponsor that I know of. But here's something that I've always noticed, too. You know, a lot of people that come to meetings are court ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in them rooms, they go to a lot of meetings where all they have to do is just get them a cup of coffee and sit back and just go for the ride for that hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing, has nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Well, I found out the smaller the meeting are, the more that a person can get into themselves and can get out of themselves. But they won't come to the meetings where they have to relate to themselves, so they'll go to the meetings where...
Like, bigger, that's true,
you know,
good point.
So,
lost in the meeting.
Right, you know, so where do they get a chance to really get into recovery? They just going through the process for whatever reason
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to get through that probation period, to get that pressure that they have on them all from the courts, from the judge and things like that, you know. And they become repeated offenders because they don't apply themselves to this 12-step program. Sure, they get a sponsor, but they want to sponsor the sponsor.
Yeah, just by name only.
Yes, that's all they want to be able to tell the courts or tell the judge or something, I got a sponsor. But they don't want to do the footwork.
Well, but that's a good point. Do you guys agree smaller meetings might be a better place to get honest?
You take, for instance, like at our relapse prevention meeting that we have at the CAS team. Robert's been chairing that meeting for the last 2 months or so. What better person to have to deal with a relapse prevention meeting that hasn't relapsed? You know,
that's true.
And I find that the people that come to the meeting really enjoy the experience, strength, and hope that he shares with us at the meeting. With the literature that we have, that we produce to the ones that come to the meeting and everything. And as we sit there and relate to it, you can hear after the meeting that people have gotten something out of it. Well, you're sitting around the table and it's only 10, 15, 12 of us. So everybody get a chance to share. But the ones that need to be there won't be there because they don't want you to know about it. They're afraid to know who they really are. If you really want to know the truth, they're scared of themselves.
You know, I never thought about that, James, till you just said that. That's an interesting thing to think about. You can get lost in those bigger meetings, for sure.
You know, I agree with James. We talked about this before, but also we need to get back to the bottom line is, Lord, thank goodness for the court systems today that do get people into these rooms. I know for me it was facing prison time, and God talking about, well, maybe you need to go to rehab before you go to court. And I came to these rooms like a lot of us because I'm afraid of going to jail or whatever, and I thought it would help me out. But when I got here and I listened to these people's story and could relate to say, that sounds just like me. Mm-hmm. And I look across the room and say, well, if it's working for them, maybe it'll work for me. You know, maybe I want some of that peace that they got and serenity and good life and all that. And so because I was introduced to this room with the threat of going to jail or through the courts or whatever, I got introduced to it. I found out that, you know, maybe I need to try that kind of life because that's what I want, what they have. And I've been around ever since. So the courts, what the courts do today is a great thing for people to get introduced to this 12-step recovery programs. We still get back to the bottom line is, do I want to choose their way of life, or I don't want to keep on doing what I'm doing and stay in that misery?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the courts today because, one, for the courts, I probably wouldn't be here today. You know, the threat of going to jail for a long time. So it's a good thing when Lisa and I have been around a few times, and I don't know, a lot of people are still in the program because of the court system. Of course, got them here, and they said, okay, I want it, now that I'm here.
You know? Well, even before the courts, the treatment programs made you go every day,
where
they'd have AA volunteers come in every day for bridge groups and stuff, so it was definitely force-fed at first.
That's right.
Just like shots for immunization. Your parents force you to get a shot. A baby doesn't go willingly and stick their tuchus up for the doctor to put a needle in it. So sometimes you got to have forced health shoved down your throat. John, you're the newest baby of the group, and you had 16 years and relapsed.
Yes.
What do you think happened that made you even consider going back?
Or I stopped fellowshipping with the people of AA and NA, and I started hanging around what you call normal people and thinking that I was normal and setting myself up being in the wrong places. And I seen that I thought that I can handle this. And it wasn't long before I was right back in the same predicament I was.
How long were you back in your addiction?
Maybe 3 years.
3 years of hell.
3 years of miserable.
After 16 years clean and then, going back.
Yes. So it didn't take long for me to lose everything that I had, though. But like Robert was saying, I thank God for the court system, too.
Did you get a nudge from the judge?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, like, don't nobody want to be locked up. So, you know.
But that doesn't work either. I work for the courts now, and people come out of jail and go right back.
Right back, yes, ma'am.
So jail doesn't work either.
It's that addictive behavior, like you were saying earlier, that they have a criminal mentality. And, you know,
That's
this program is about change. It teaches us how to live a better, soft, the easier way.
And it's not for everyone, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's not for everyone, because I didn't see people come in and that's not here anymore. And I don't put them down. I pray for them.
Right.
You know, because I want to see them, you know, make it.
You guys are pastors and deacons and people that talk about the gospel and
yes.
Understand. What about all the pious people that are addicted, that prayed all their life? Is that because...
They probably just prayed and didn't put no action behind it. You know?
Because, you know, you see a lot of religious people that won't come to AA.
Yes.
They're just going to go to church.
Saying goes, faith without works is dead. Yeah, so...
So if you pray for potatoes, you still got to get the hoe.
You got to plant the seed.
So do ministers not talk about that from the pulpits?
Rarely and seldom.
Seldom.
And then, too, I attend church on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not in other churches as much as I am in my own church, you
mm-hmm.
know. So,
sure.
Yeah. You know, so.
And there is, have you heard of Accent on Christ and Celebrate Recovery? So there's more gospel-oriented 12-step programs I've heard now.
Yes.
Church Embracing Offenders that are religious-natured.
Yes. The Accent on Christ, I've attended meeting that pretty regularly. And... It's a gift to the community.
Yeah.
It is, you know.
I think you're right.
It's a gift to the community.
Some people just can't get into the 12th, just the AANA way, because they don't think there's enough religion in there. And we all know there is, but when you're new, it could be a turnoff that they don't hear.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
Excuse me, I wanted to get back to something James was talking about. We were talking about prayer. You know, I've heard from a lot of sponsees and other people in recovery that, you know, we talk about prayer a lot in this program, and people talk about, okay, man, I pray, and I pray, and I pray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nothing's happening. You know, and it's like James said, you know, we can pray all we want, but if we don't get off our rears and do something about it, then nothing's going to happen. You know, your God or whatever is not going to come down here and give you a job or change your friends or make you quit drinking, and no matter how much you pray. You have to take the action.
Yeah.
And recovery is all about action. It's about doing something. I was watching a little cartoon this morning, and it was a funny thing because the guy says, you know, you need to try something. Even if you make a mistake, you can learn from the mistake.
Yes.
You won't do it again. And, excuse me, I think so many of us in recovery, we come in here with so much fear that we're afraid to try something new. We always fear of losing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'm going to lose my family, I'm going to lose my friends, I'm going to lose this and the other. But when we stay around these rooms a few days, we find out we've already lost ourselves a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be trying to find is ourselves.
You know? Oh, God, I was just talking to one of my dearest friends this morning on the phone. And, yeah, you got to come to that reality that you have lost yourself a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at how we fight to hang on to what little bit of self we think we can muster up, that selfishness almost.
Yeah.
You guys all said before we started that you have women in your lives and partners that are chemically free.
Yes,
all of you
have
sober women.
Yes.
Do you think that makes a difference too, that your partner be chemically free as well? Even though they may not be addicted, but that they don't drink or drug if they're going to be your life partner? Think that's important?
Very important for me.
For your recovery?
For me, yes. Yes. You know, I couldn't see myself waking up, laying down with a drug-related spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I couldn't live it. You know, I'm a recovering addict, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to do one thing real good. I don't need nobody to tell me or show me or teach me how to get high.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I've practiced that year after year after year.
Perfected that.
You know. So show me and teach me how not to use,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what better example can I have than to be dealing in a relationship with someone that's not using? Like with my sponsor and my sponsee right here. We have a common interest together. And that common interest is we don't pick up today. Now, what did we do not to use today?
hang with people that don't use.
That's right. You know, Robert shared with me a couple of times. We cut a yard or something together, and he would say, "Now just think what a cold beer would taste like behind this." Well, think about the consequences of that cold beer.
It wouldn't just be a cold beer.
You know what I'm saying?
A cold 12-pack to start.
Yeah, you got to look at it down the road.
All the way
you
through,
know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to play that tape all the way through, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, and that's one of the things that...
it's a luxury you guys cannot afford.
Right. Very true. And one thing about my wife is that... you know, it's not so much as the drinking and the drugging that get you caught up. It's what causes you to drink and the drug, your attitude.
Right.
You know, the causes and effects of dealing with life on life terms, you know, is what causes you to drink and drug.
And that can get very burdensome in sobriety. It can hurt sometimes to be feeling
much.
All your stuff.
Yes. Yeah. They say life is... 90% of what happened to you and 10% of how you react to it, you know, the attitude part, you know. Mm-hmm. So now if I got all these forces confronting me on a daily basis and you tell me I only got 10% of how to react to it, why not drown myself in some misery and some
pain
so I don't have to face the reality part of it, you know.
That's right.
See, I can do that quicker than I can, but this program teaches you how to deal with
That is a key thing. And my friend Ben Trockman taught me attitude is more important than aptitude.
Right.
That's so,
say that.
That's just
yes.
what you're saying.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes. You know.
And if your spouse is using, chances are they don't have the greatest attitude most days. We have got to take a little... Go ahead, Robert.
I was going to say, I think, as we said at this table, for the three of us here, that's, we have so much in common, not only by being in the programs, but also being in a relationship with ladies that have used in their past, that thank God for our little more time of being clean, because I know for women, particularly young in recovery, their emotional sobriety is up and down, in and out, and if we didn't have a couple of days more clean and patience, we'd need a drink.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, we got to take a break, Radio Rehab. I'm going to come back on a rebuttal for that one, so don't go away. I'm not letting these three men hang on that. It's Mother's Day. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's buy more, save more. Right now at your Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. The more you buy, the more you save. It's never been easier to relax in style at a comfortable price. Hurry in and enjoy incredible values in every department. Dining room start at just $199. Queen bed start at just $299. Sofa start at just $399. You won't believe the amazing deals, but you gotta come in to see them all. And for a limited time, save big with no interest for 48 months. Unlike other furniture stores, Ashley designs, builds, and delivers their furniture. You save money with Ashley Direct Prices. Shop at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, where great style doesn't have to be expensive. Treat yourself. Get a new look for your home and enjoy no interest for 48 months. It's buy more, save more. On now at your Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Located at 1441 North Green River Road at Morgan Avenue in Evansville. Special financing available only to qualified buyers. Minimum monthly payments due. See store for details.
The Tom Joyner Morning Show grants another Christmas wish.
Please, 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 Mr. Joyner, I keep praying that you see my letter grant my Christmas wish because I really need it. Tamika, gotcha. Merry Christmas.
The Christmas Wish happens every Wednesday morning on the TJMS.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
My car needs a sip of some smooth, clean, and refreshing high-quality motor oil, and I'm going to take it to Award-Winning Oil Change. At Award-Winning Oil Change, they take care of all my car's needs. For $20 on most vehicles, the mechanic will change the oil and inspect the car for safety and drivability issues for free. Isn't that awesome? I go there because they are very professional, and they have good service for good people at a great price. It's truly a one-stop shop. They're not the average oil change. They have a team of professional mechanics that take care of my suspension work, brakes, shocks, struts, and tune-ups. And why do I go to Award-Winning Oil Change located across from Deaconess Hospital at the corner of Harriet and Virginia? Pricing. They are the home of the $20 oil change, and that includes a free vehicle inspection. So stop clowning around and follow me to the best place in town. Award-Winning Oil Change. At the corner of Harriet in Virginia, or call them at 424-1992.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, you all probably are back to hear how I'm going to get on Robert for mentioning it's a good thing these three men had some sobriety before they hooked up with the wives they're all with. You know what? It is Mother's Day weekend, and this is all in fun and good respect. What do you guys say to the mothers of the world that have sons and daughters that they know are in trouble and addicted and they've prayed forever? What do you say to those mothers? How can they help their children that are addicted or their family members?
You know, from my own perspective and over the years, a lot of mothers, you know, they talk about loving their child, whether it's a boy or girl, whatever. But a lot of them also don't want to accept the reality that my child is not that way. You know, I think every parent thinks their child is different. It's not going to be that as bad as the other people mm-hmm. that they see out in the streets or whatever. But what we do is, as parents, when we close our minds to what's in front of our eyes and not to help our child, we're not only hurting them, but we're hurting ourselves because we allow that child to stay in that sick state of mind all the time. And I'll be honest with them, it's hard for a parent to literally say, you know what, child, either you straighten up or get out. Mm-hmm. Because we perceive it as an act of not being loved in the parent. For me, I can speak from my own personal experience. I've had experience with and a deal with a child, raising a child, and then the child used. And the bottom line was, I put the child out of my house. Now, people say you call that not caring or whatever. But to a point where you have to become the adult to do what's best for the child. And sometimes the best thing we do with a child is to tell that child, look, you will get help, or if you want to live your life that way on your own, you do it separate from me.
Do you think it's different for fathers? They're a little tougher than the mothers are?
Yes. Yeah, fathers are.
Yeah, the fathers are ready to kick them out.
Right.
You're not going to bring that in my home.
Yeah,
where
right.
Moms are like, no.
Right. And then, you know, I've seen that cause quite a bit of
conflict.
Conflict between the parents, because one child, you know, the child's one saying stay home, the other saying get out. You know? But when we talk about love someone, as I've come to learn in the program, because I can be honest with you, before I got into 12-step program, Love to me was just an act of somebody giving me something I wanted, and that was the bottom line. I never knew what real love was about or how to get it across to other people or even to receive it myself or care about myself as far as loving me. We had that false pride and that false image and that ego and everything we talked about, and that's what I carried around. But to get back to the prayer issue, when you love someone, if you really love them, you do what's best for them and get out of yourself sometimes, because our own pride interferes with the reason of my children. What would my neighbor say? What would a kid think? What would the preacher think if I put my towel out?
Well, I talked to a mom this week that was afraid if she put her kid out, who's not even a kid. Well, he's a kid. He's 21 going on 15 emotionally. But that he'd go into criminal behavior if he didn't have a roof over his head. If she withdrew the phone in the car and kicked him out, he'd go on the streets. That's a mother's biggest fear.
Yeah, but at what point do we allow the child to grow up to be an adult? It's just like the attic out in the street. As long as somebody keeps feeding you dope, I'm going to stay there. You know, until you cut me off, and then it's like, okay, I've got to look at a new way of life because this is not working anymore. Mm-hmm. So at some point, you have to, you know, tell that child, you know, you're grown. You can do what you want to, but you're going to do it outside of my home.
Is that, you all agree, what mothers should do is let go?
Yes. Yeah, because if you don't, then you're just creating a worse monster. See, because you're giving them more time to get addicted to these drugs. And it's kind of real difficult today with the youth of today because, you know, they don't have the mothers and fathers in their life that they need to give them the right direction and show them the kind of love. And they just, that's what they basically looking for, somebody to love them. And they turn to the wrong places for love, the streets. And then the streets teach them, you know, to discomfort you. So they start turning and use drugs. And mainly, you know, today it's the pills they taking. And,
it's unreal, the
they
pills
They don't know
now.
That it's destroying their lives. And you know what they're doing. So from your experience, you're trying to tell them you don't want to see them go down that same route. And they say, no, I got everything in control. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to turn out like you. And you know where it's going to head them. So, you know, mother's love. You know, I have to deal with this with my wife. And, you know, I have to humble myself a lot of times to let her make the mother decisions, you know, because she's not willing to just let go like that. And if I don't be supportive for it, then I'm in trouble.
That's
so
right.
So I have to, you know, pass by her and I say, oh, I don't want no trouble. So, you know, to be supportive as I can. But if I see to where it's a point where it's not going to help that person, then I have to step in. You know.
How old are your kids, John?
My oldest kid is 24.
Oh, my.
And my youngest is 12. And we have custody of our granddaughter now. And, you know, she's been a great inspiration in my life because when I was sick this last time, you know, she used to, you know, and she's just 4 years old, and it's something that a baby can see it.
Yes.
You know, what's wrong with Papa? Mm. You know, and she would come ask me, is you okay? And, you know, and when I, you know, got myself straight again, you know, God showed me that there was your little angel of protection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now, you know, I do anything for my love. I call her mine. You know, her name is Naraya, but I call her mine. Mm-hmm. She's a great inspiration in my life, and she helps me. You know, because when I look at her, I say, you got to keep doing good for you can be this role model in her life.
That's
you
right.
know, and for the other kids and even the community.
That's right.
You know, because they see the difference, you know. They
role modeling.
When the way, you know, which way is he going to go today? Mm. I got to keep going in the right direction if I want to live.
And you're right. The children know, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they know.
We can learn a lot about love from them.
From them. Yes, we can.
And role modeling, you said, was a key thing.
Yes.
So mothers and fathers need to be good role models.
Yes.
But kick them out.
You know,
get them out of the house.
I'm James, and I'm a grateful recovering addict, alcoholic. And I don't know if that's so much as the right thing to do, you know.
There's just no easy answer.
You know,
it's so different for everybody.
When you're dealing with family, you know, you're dealing with relationships, you're dealing with love. You know, families break up behind scenarios like this right here, you know, mother and father, get separated because of the action of the kids and stuff. You know, sisters and brothers go astray, and cousins, nieces, and all this. It affects the whole family and friends that's involved, you know. So is that the right thing to do? I don't really think so. I think what's really need to be done first is that you need to try to seek some professional help for that person. You know, sure. You need to go to any length to try to see what, you know, normally speaking, I found out for me that alcohol and drugs wasn't my problem. It was my thinking that was the problem. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with them kids, you know, and I got kids that's out there doing different things now. I got a son that's 38, 40-something years old that I can't keep away from alcohol and drugs, and I can't keep him away from the penitentiary. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, it did come to that point where as I did had to send him on his way. But I was a single parent at that time dealing with an addict. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like me.
You didn't have a team.
Right.
It was just you.
It was just me. So I had to make that decision on my own. Now that I'm married, mm-hmm. the wife and I would have to come to a disagreement and deal with this situation in the family with a using sibling. You know what I'm saying? So how would we deal with that? We have to deal with that as it take place, you know.
Well, but, I like that you said go for professional help.
Yes.
If they had a virus or a toothache,
you go to the doctor.
Yeah, you take them for professional help.
Right.
But why the resistance then with mothers to take their kids to get help? Is it the embarrassment? Does it all go back to that pride?
Yeah. And basically, a lot of it could be a financial problem, you know, that everything costs nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and a lot of time we just push things aside. We have, it's not, not enough hours in the day to really do what we need to do.
Yeah.
So when I get through taking care of me, I don't have time to look at you, you know.
That's true.
And sometimes we need to put ourselves back and do what we need to do for our loved ones, you know. You know, it's just like going through a situation with the youngest son of mine, a custody procedure that I went through with him. And when I reached out and seek for some help for him, the Evansville Christian Life Center up here saw that my son had counseling, and it didn't cost me a dime. And
that's
they took care of him for a lady there, and I'm proud to call her name, Ms. Cheryl Davis. She was director of the Evansville Christian Life Center at that time.
So you can get free help.
So she, you know, if you seek it, you have to, you know, you got to put some action into it. You got to get out there. And they counseled my son for over a year. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that facility up there. They do a lot of work for the community as well. You know, they feed, clothe.
No, there's all these great places. The Potter's Wheel has Celebrate Recovery meetings in there.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, if you just go sit there and twiddle your thumb, waiting on a boat of lightning to strike you before something happened, then you'd just be sitting.
Mm-hmm. So mothers, don't be afraid to look.
Get out and do something
seek
to help
and you
kid.
Will find
yes.
that kid, yeah, or the, or your spouse sometimes.
Yeah. You know, you don't hear as much as 12-step calls being done anymore.
Right.
You know, when
That's
I
right.
first came into the fellowship, you know,
they
I
were
used to
common.
Go on 12-step calls. I don't hear of anyone doing them no more, you know.
Well, they've got the homeless shelters now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, don't you think that just seems to be where people go now? They don't call the AA crisis line anymore.
No.
Or the NA crisis line. They'll go to a shelter or to their churches maybe or to treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Christian used to every day go out on a 12-step call, and they'd take a bottle with them, get the alcoholic to quit shaking or the addict. Yeah, you don't have those anymore.
You don't have them anymore, you know.
Yeah.
The treatment facilities and these shelters, they're taking it all the way from, you know, when you're reading in the big book and you're reading in some parts of Bill's stories, it talks about how they used to go out on calls and stuff, and how they used to visit hospitals.
Oh, yeah, the asylums.
The asylums
That's
during
right.
that time, you know, which were state hospitals, you know.
Yep.
And nowadays, you know, the only time that you can go into a treatment facility to see someone is you come as a visitor after they've been there and went through detox and all this stuff.
Yeah, you got to be on the list.
Yes, you know. Yeah. So, you know, they chopping.
It's hard to get to those old wet drunks anymore.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Even in jail, you can't visit them until they calm down after a few days.
Then you got to go through the procedure.
Right.
You know?
That's true. Show your ID and everything else.
Lisa, I want to touch on one thing that James was talking about as far as parents go. You know, we can raise our children to the best of our ability in a home that's full of recovering or full of Christianity or whatever we choose or whatever they happen to be brought up with. But there comes a point when they become adults or create their own lives, that we have to learn how to accept that what they turn out to be is not necessarily our fault. You know, a lot of us as parents, we want to take a lot of guilt because my son turned out to be an addict, an alcoholic, or whatever. That's the choice they end up making. It's not necessarily because I raised them that way.
It's not your fault they like the buzz.
Right, you know, so a lot of parents don't get this guilt complex, like, you know, I raised my son and they shouldn't have turned out that way. I want parents to understand that. People come from the best homes in the world and have everything they want for God-given material things. Their choice is going to be whether they use alcohol or drugs. And not to put it on, you know, your man, all the times you were a bad parent and it's your fault.
Yeah.
Every man and woman has their own will to do what they're going to do with their lives. So as a parent, don't always take the guilt because my turn out to be an alcoholic and that's my fault. We still make our own choices in life.
And wouldn't that be a great gift for Mother's Day if mothers didn't feel to blame?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Didn't feel guilty.
Yeah. What a burden for a mother.
It is. Yeah.
I've never seen more heartache and pain than in a mother that's kid just has gone astray. Mm-hmm. Fathers too, but boy, those mothers really blame themselves or blame you, the husband.
Yeah, well, I get a lot of that. Just like your
dad. Without kids.
You're just like your dad. Your dad went in with you in a minute. Okay.
Yeah. So for Mother's Day, let them be blame free, our mothers.
And I was talking to a mother just last Sunday, and the hurting part that she's experiencing right now is that her son that's out there using, that's homeless and out there, is that his brothers and sisters don't want to have anything to do with him.
They've abandoned him.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
boy.
See, where's the love? You know?
Yeah.
See, love is greater than all things. Yeah. Where's the love? I mean, you know, it's just like if someone come up to me and I know that they practicing, and he say, give me some money, man, because I want to buy me some food. I wouldn't necessarily give him the money, but I would take him buy him some food.
Get him some food, yeah.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Sure, I do.
See, but here, people don't even want to hear what, you know, I'm hungry. Go to shelter, eat. Go somewhere and eat. You know,
it's hard on the siblings.
Yeah.
To watch a parent worry about the specific sibling and just go to hell and back over their sibling that's addicted. Brothers and sisters get fed up a lot quicker than parents do. Yeah. Yeah, where is the love? That's right. And we need to do more educating for the family and for the siblings.
Right. Yeah. But you know, the book talks about the thing about addiction is not only does it affect the personal individual, it affects the whole family.
Four other people, they say, for one alcoholic.
Right. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. You know, if you're an alcoholic or an addict, believe me, you affected somebody in your life. You know, whether you believe it or not or even see it. You know, so.
Yes.
I've been working on a field like I know Lisa is and I have in the past. We see a lot of addicted people that don't understand what they take away from their families and their children in particular, you know, doing their active addiction and everything. And the price is high. We pay for that fun we have. Yeah, it really is. But if you get into a program and get into recovery, try this life and you find out that the rewards that we have in recovery are so great. Mm-hmm. The big book talks about the joy and the peace and the serenity you can have in recovery. And I'm not going to sit and tell everybody that it's a barrel of fun, that it's easy, that you're going to enjoy it all the time. It's not. It's work. And it's work not only yesterday, it's work today, and hopefully it'll work tomorrow. And the only thing that keeps me clean and sober one day at a time is keep practicing these principles this program's taught me. Keep sharing this with other people, you know, for their lives to get better. And as I share with them, my life gets better. I find that to be the truth. And working with a God of my understanding, because like me, when I first came in here, I didn't want to hear that God thing. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. You know, forget it. I'm not going there. But through just trying to do what we talk about one day at a time, doing the next right thing, you know, life gets better. And the greatest reward I have is when I share with James, I have like I have in the past, excuse me, is no matter what's going on in my life that looks bad or feels bad, there's some good in it if I look for it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a blessing there, and there's always something to be grateful for.
That's that attitude James was talking about.
No
always look
going
for
on.
Something is something. Around the corner that's good.
That's
yes.
right, something. You know, we learned that in recovery. The example I can share with others, like when my mother died here about 5 months ago, and everybody's talking about, man, you should be sad and all that and this and that. And it's like, well, you know, you go through your grieving period and life goes on. And then I look back and like, okay, what is the lesson I'm supposed to learn from this? Because we learn from everything one day at a time as it happens in life. And I said, look for the good in it. I look for the good in everything. And James looks at me a lot of times. I say to him, well, you had a fat tar. What's good about that? Well, you know.
You had to ask someone for help or had to slow down for a minute or
maybe
something.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to be around that corner 5 minutes earlier and had that wreck or something. I don't know. God's got a plan here. I'm just trying to fit in.
Yes.
So life is good. Try it. I mean, what have we got to lose? Because the life we're living out there with drugs and alcohol, when you're actively doing it, it's no fun.
And for all you loving mothers, come to some open AA or NA meetings or cast groups or come to some of these guys. Where can these mothers find you all? What could we announce on Radio Rehab that could be happening for people, moms or anybody to hear about recovery and see recovery?
Well, you know, first of all, if it's a female, you need to contact my wife. You know, because the program teaches me that men work with men and females
right.
work with females,
right.
you know. And normally speaking, Mount Olive Galilee Missionary Baptist Church is about a place where you can.
Mount Olive?
Galilee James. Baptist Church.
Where's that located?
At 825 Lyon Street.
825 Lyon,
right.
Mount Olive.
Mm-hmm.
And when are the meetings there?
We have one Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. That's a big book study meeting.
Okay. Are these open
they're
so
open,
mothers
open,
and dads can come?
Open meetings.
Good.
No smoking.
Okay. Monday at 9:30
a.m.
A.m.
Tuesday, relapse prevention meeting, 5 p.m. Robert is the chairperson of that meeting. We have Wednesday at 1:30. That's a 12 and 12. And a lot of times people really don't get into that 12 and 12 because of the traditions. And I like the tradition part. Traditions give me the opportunity to govern my mm-hmm. life with the society at large, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
one of the third tradition that I like about it is the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using.
Yep.
And it don't cost you nothing to belong to these fellowships, you know.
That's, right.
That's the only meeting and group that I know is that you don't have to pay to belong. You know,
that's right. Biggest lost and found organization in the world, and it's free.
It is free, you know.
It sure is.
And on Friday, a guy named Vincent, he does our open discussion meeting.
What time
is it? That's at 12 noon.
12 mm-hmm. to 1. So you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday
right.
if people... Okay.
Now, on Thursday, we had a KISS group.
Oh, yes.
And that's my home group. And it started at 7 p.m., every Thursday, and it's at the Impact Ministry.
It's an Impact Ministry.
Impact Ministry, right there. Was that 6 and...
Ministries. Was that started mainly for the African-American community? Did that come out of the Drug Crisis
yes,
Referral Center?
Yes.
That
I
group.
So.
Oh, that's great.
I think Robert was one of the original
founding members
of it. Wasn't yeah.
So that's still around and going strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for sure, if black people want to get to meetings where they are around other black peoples, there's some other black folks, there's meetings every day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
KISS, Mount Olive.
Right. Then at Memorial Baptist Church.
Right.
Sunday at 7:30. It's an NA meeting there. Nate.
7:30 p.m.?
7:30 p.m.
Memorial Church.
Memorial Church. Nate B., he's the chairperson there. And John, he's doing, well, you can share about yourself.
But there's a meeting at your church,
yes,
John?
Yes, Zion Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1800 Governor, and it's Saturdays from 6 to 7.
Wow. We'll post that on Facebook so everybody knows where these meetings are. Radio Rehab on Facebook. Saturday, 6 p.m. at Zion on Governor.
Yes.
So, yeah, every day.
Yeah.
So, moms out there, don't hesitate to call Robert or John or James. They've just told you where they're hanging out. You can find them here at Radio Rehab or on Radio Rehab Facebook, and they'll be on the World Wide Web here probably the middle of the week. So you can get on lisasifcares.net and hit podcast and hear their interview and kind of rewind the hope that they've passed on to us today. Do you all have anything to say in closing?
Lisa, I think you're a great asset to the community. You reaches out to so many people, and we just don't know when we touch as one. But the opportunity that has been given to you, I'm grateful that you're passing it on.
Well, I'm grateful you passed it on to me.
Yeah.
It's the language of the heart.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for y'all inviting me here.
Oh, you better come back.
Yeah, I'll come back anytime I can.
And I'm going to come and hear you preach.
Yeah, that'll be a great time.
Sundays?
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
I exercise my talent on Wednesday from 7 to 8.
Wednesday from 7 to 8. I could do that.
Yes,
and that's at Zion. Exercise. Yeah. That's awesome. 7 to 8. Okay. Thank you, John.
Lisa, as usual, thank you for having me. You know, I love you very much.
I love you.
You've been in my life. Well, since I've been around these rooms.
A few decades, for sure.
Yeah. But,
and we love Etta, too.
Yeah. James said, you know, you are as such a community, and not only to me as an individual. Just show you this program works to sit here and have three generations of people that are working this program one day at a time, mm-hmm. staying clean and sober, enjoying life. It does work. And please, if you want any part of this, learn it, contact us at one of these meetings or whatever. Get on the wire. You know, call Lisa if you have to. She can get hold of us if necessary, whatever. And thanks again.
Love well, you. Thank you all. And you moms, as they've said, there's no reason to do this deal alone. Reach out. We're all there. Thank you, Radio Rehab, for listening. Happy Mother's Day, you guys. I bet your mothers are so excited to have you in their life. And proud that this program's restored us all to some sanity. And until next week, everybody, don't forget, Robert's going to do Radio Rehab next Saturday. But besides for that, don't forget to do the next right thing.